Let's turn now to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews is towards the end of your Bible, page 1007. Somebody could give me the number in the white Bible. That would be great. 652. So almost at the end of the Bible. We're going to read just six verses. It says, "The full assurance of faith," that's the subtitle in my Bible, beginning in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what it was like in your house this morning as you got ready to go to church, but in my family, Sunday mornings aren't always the easiest. I'll admit that to you. I have five kids, and especially when the kids were little, it was a lot of work getting to church on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings was the time when everything seemed to go wrong. It would be the time when, you know, breakfast would get burnt, when my kids were misbehaving. It was the time that I would find my Sunday jacket, and it would be a big spot on it, and I'd have to clean it off before I went up front. It would be the morning that I would be at odds with my wife. Amazing. Sunday morning, you're going to church to worship, and you're getting in a fight Sunday morning. But brothers and sisters, I think for a lot of Christians, Sunday mornings can be a challenge. It's a time when you're busy, right? You're getting ready. You got to be in church on time. You want to look good. You want to smell good. Sunday morning is when you want to be there early enough to, you know, to hand out bulletins or be of help, especially in a church plant. But Sunday mornings is also a time when Satan really attacks us. Satan doesn't want us to come to church with peace in our hearts. Satan doesn't want us to come to church thinking of what we're about to do, of the important thing, the important activity that we're about to be involved in. I'm convinced that Satan really works overtime on Sunday mornings to discourage us from even getting to church at all. So often in our work in Mexico, when I would begin to work with somebody new, they would tell me about how it was Sunday mornings that their family would come over to, you know, just before they were about to get to church. That was the morning that people would show up to visit. And I would say to them directly, you know what? It's going to be a challenge to get to church on Sunday. It's going to be a challenge to be in a worshipful mood or in a proper frame of mind to worship the Lord. Because sometimes we get here, right? We feel a little frazzled and we don't feel like we're ready to worship. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that Satan does want to discourage us from coming to church. Because church for the Christian is something that is essential. Church for the Christian really is kind of the central part of his week. It's something that you look forward to. It's the first day of the week, but you look forward to all week long. That's the design God has given this day of rest. That's the design that God has given the day of worship. Something that we need as Christians. And here in our passage in verse 25, it speaks about the importance of worshiping together as God's people. And it says in verse 25, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So, evidently, in the time of the New Testament church, this was already a problem for many. There were those who said that they believed in Jesus Christ. They said that they were committed to Jesus Christ, but they weren't showing up for this time of worship on the Lord's Day. And brothers and sisters, we see that this is the problem that we have today is an age-old problem. It's something that the church has always struggled with. And when you look at numbers today in the Christian church in North America, and especially in the States, there are a lot of people who are feeling very discouraged about going to church. Statistics tell us about 40% of the population in the States goes to church regularly. It's down from over 60% just 20 years ago. One report says that a poll was done of pastors, and they said between 40 and 60% of their members actually show up regularly to church activities. And as we walked around Newark and Jersey City yesterday putting up flyers, we were commenting on some of these old majestic buildings that now are just rotting and falling to pieces. And I think physically we can see there's just so many churches that are going downhill. A lot of the young people are leaving. A lot of the people that were committed are no longer going. So I want to ask you this question: why is it so important? Do we really need to show up for church on Sunday? Is it essential, really, for the Christian to be together with Christians Sunday mornings? And I want to see two things with you. First of all, that yes, it is necessary. Yes, it is essential for us to come together as God's people. And secondly, we're going to see the purpose that God has for worship in our lives, what it does to us, and how it helps us walk with the Lord from day to day. When we go back, brothers and sisters, to the beginning of this chapter, we see that there's a discussion about the place of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. If you guys know anything about the book of Hebrews, you know that basically it's an explanation to the Jews of the relationship between the Old Testament system and the New Testament, right? So it's explaining why the sacrifices were necessary, why they had a high priest, why they had a temple, why they had a tabernacle. All of these things are explained very clearly in a way that people could understand, because they needed to make that connection. They needed to understand what was the connection between the Old Testament and Israel and the Jewish nation and Jesus Christ. They needed to understand that and understand that clearly. So in this chapter, what we see is that there's an explanation of the sacrificial system. There's an explanation of why those sacrifices were necessary time and time again. And it explains there that these sacrifices were continually offered every year, and it was necessary to make perfect those who draw near. And they needed to be offered year after year, time after time, because of their sins, the sins of the people. And as we just mentioned, every one of us has sins. As God's people, we sin. We need to receive forgiveness, don't we? And all of those things, all of those sacrifices, show to the people of God what? It showed to them that someone had to take their place. Someone or something had to pay that price which they could never pay. And we know from this passage that that was looking forward to what Jesus Christ would do. Jesus Christ was going to come. Jesus Christ would make that one-time sacrifice for all of the sacrifices that they continually made through history. He would do that once and for all, and then it would no longer be necessary to have sacrifices any longer. And that's what this whole section is talking about. And for a person who knows who Jesus Christ is and understands who Jesus Christ is and understands what Jesus Christ has done for him, that Jesus Christ has paid that price, that has paid that debt which we could never pay, it says something about that person. Verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence," in another translation it says we have boldness, we now have boldness to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. What's this holy place he was talking about? You may remember the Holy of Holies. What was the Holy of Holies? That was the place where the temple where the ark was kept. It was the holiest place where only the high priest could go into once a year. What happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross? That veil, that curtain that kept that part, that the holy place apart, what happened? That was torn from top to bottom. It was torn, and everyone could see into the holy place for the first time. And what's being said here is that Jesus Christ has come, and he has given us that right that in the Old Testament, only the high priest had the right to go into that place of absolute perfection, of God's very, very, very presence. And he's saying, look, now you as Christians, because you believe, because you know Jesus Christ, you can go into that holy place. You have boldness to do that. You have that right through Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is, brothers and sisters, that here in the New Testament, we now understand that we, as God's people, have that right, every one of us, to go directly into God's presence. And that's the amazing thing about our relationship with God. We don't need to be afraid any longer. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to wonder if God will accept us. We know that he will. We know that Jesus Christ has paid that price. Brothers and sisters, if we know that, then we understand also our need to worship. We can say that it's in our DNA. It's something that now comes naturally. It's something that we want to do. If God has made us a new creation in him, if Christ has called us to himself, this is something that we don't have to do. This is something that we want to do, right? We want to be in church on Sunday. That's something that is exciting to us. That is something that thrills our heart, isn't it? If God has done all of these things for us, if God has given us many, many blessings and has poured out those blessings on our life, well, we want to be in his presence, don't we? We want to feel his nearness. We want to praise him for all that he has done for us. You know, we want to be close to that God that we love. And you know, that's a God-given desire. You know, it's only a person that's truly born again, it's only a person that truly knows Jesus Christ that's going to come regularly to church. Otherwise, soon they're going to get sick of it. You know, they're going to come to church and they're going to find some kind of fault. And they're going to say, well, I'm not coming to church because whatever. They'll make up something. It can be the pastor, it can be a lot of things. You know, maybe the people in the church, you know, they're not friendly, they don't love me, you know, and I'm not coming back to that church. But a lot of times it's an excuse, isn't it? It's not because of the church itself, it's because of our own condition. So God gives us that desire. Psalm 84 expresses it this way. It says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My flesh and my heart cry out for the living God. And I pray that that's true about you this morning, that you really desire to be in worship, that when you come to church, you love to worship God. And you see, that's very different than someone who's in the world. A lot of people, you know, will look for their fulfillment in something else. Maybe you've been to a secular concert, maybe you've been to hear a pop star before, and you know, in Canada we have Justin Bieber, he's our, you know, famoso, he's the famous one. A lot of people in Mexico would ask us about Justin Bieber. Oh wow, you guys come from Canada, you know. It's our claim to fame, unfortunately. But if you ever see videos of a Justin Bieber concert, or you see videos of another pop star, it's amazing how people go up to that stage and they're like worshiping this guy. You know, they're falling down. These girls are fainting because they're so excited to see this guy. It's amazing. But you know, I think that is part of the desire we have in our heart. We want to worship someone. We want to worship something. We want to adore that person, don't we? But brothers and sisters, we don't need pop stars to worship. We can know the Almighty God. This God is the one who is calling us into His presence each Lord's Day. Every Sunday, that is what we are to experience. And this is something that we should never lose sight of. You see, familiarity breeds contempt. That's what we say sometimes, right? Sometimes when you go to church, and you've been at church for a long time, you've been to the same church for a long time, you know, you can get a little bored. You can say, well, man, I've been there, I've done that. You know, we could see it perhaps as a duty. We could see that as an obligation. You know, we can even go critically sometimes. We can be critical. We can go in with a critical mind. You know, did the pastor say that? Did the pastor say this? Did people greet me properly? There's all sorts of reasons we can have, right, for not coming to church or to go into church with the wrong attitude. But we need to be reminded, brothers and sisters, we're here to be refreshed spiritually. We need this time together. We need to remember that we shouldn't focus on man. We shouldn't focus on the imperfections of those around us. But we are here to meet the Almighty God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing Creator of the universe. That's why we're here today. He is the one who is calling us into His presence. He is the one who is inviting us here today to enjoy Him. And let's not forget that. This is something we are to enjoy. It's not just a duty. It's not just something we do. We are here to enjoy God. Last night, Pastor Sam was asking the young people about, you know, what's our mission in the world? We were talking about how important it is as young people, as God's people, to enjoy God all of the time. But especially in worship, when we come to church on Sundays, we're here to, we should have smiles on our faces. You know, that's one of the things I miss from being in the Latin culture. When I was at church, you know, people would smile, they would clap, they would be crying sometimes. You know, they express that emotion, you know, visibly. And those are good things. Let's not forget that. Those are good things. So we need to come into God's presence. We need to enjoy Him. This should be something that fills our hearts and encourages us to walk with the Lord, despite our imperfections, despite the pastor that's up front, despite, you know, all of the things that we do wrong. You know, sometimes in Topeka, we didn't have good music. Sometimes our pianist wasn't very good. My poor wife got taken in. She had to be the pianist, even though she didn't play piano very well. But, you know, we made a joyful noise to the Lord. We sang together. We enjoyed the Lord. And that's what God desires to see in us. We have to long and we need to faint and to passionately love the Lord Jesus Christ and to show that as we come into worship. But there's something else I want you to notice here. Look with me at verse 23. Verse 23. This is another reason. We need to worship God because it's in our DNA, because we've been changed, we're new creations. But verse 23 says something interesting in 24. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, brothers and sisters, when we talk about going to church, a lot of times, you know, when I ask people, I say, well, what's the most important thing about going to church? A lot of people will say, well, it's the preaching of the word. Is that true? I hope you say, I hear an amen. Amen. Absolutely. We need to hear the preaching of the word. That should be the focus of our worship on Sundays. There's no doubt. But brothers and sisters, it's not just the preaching of the word. It's not just hearing the word, coming in and being injected with the word of God and being encouraged to walk through the preaching. That's a huge part of worship. But what's very interesting about this passage is that what it's saying is that we need to worship because we need to be encouraged by others in the church. We need to be encouraged by other believers in the church. And this verse, verse 23, is such a beautiful verse. I love this verse. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You know, brothers and sisters, I think that's something that everybody wants to do, right? We don't want to fall down on the job. We don't want to faint halfway through the race. We want to be faithful to the Lord, don't we? We want to, I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to serve the Lord till the day that I die, and I hope I die with my work boots on. You know, I pray that I'm still in the trenches till the day that I die. And I pray that that's true for you guys here today, that you want to be faithful. You don't want to waver. You want to do well in your Christian faith. But brothers and sisters, in order to do that, we need others to help us along the way. Sometimes we think we can do it alone. We sometimes think, well, okay, I'm a Christian. Maybe you hear this. Sometimes it's really popular today. Well, I'm going to worship God in my house. You know, I know that Jesus died for my sins. I know the Word of God's important. I'm going to do church at home. That's really, really popular. But, brothers and sisters, we need to be in church. We need to be together as God's people because you need to be sharpened by those around you. You need to be encouraged by those around you. Verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. What happens in the Christian faith? If you were to chart on a graph what the Christian faith looks like, what should it look like? Should it look like a straight incline, slow incline like that? You know, you're growing, 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 growing. Nice, smooth, steady line. What do you think? Reality is, it's oftentimes not like that. It's more like this. Up and down, up and down, up and down. But by God's grace, we do grow. We learn, and we continue to know more about the Lord. We grow in our faith. But you tend to have times where you go up and down, where you have a spiritual high, and you're learning, you feel like you're growing, and then you go through a difficult time. You go through a dip. It's during those times of difficulty, of trial, brothers and sisters, those are the times that we really need others around us, don't we? This is where we need the church around us. Those folks that sit beside you in church on Sunday, those aren't just people who go to the same church. Those are your brothers and sisters. Those are those who should know you and care about you and watch your back. You know, this is the concept that we should have from Scripture, the family of God. It uses different examples. It speaks about a living body, doesn't it? It speaks about the church being a building. It also speaks of the church being a family. And a true Christian is one who really wants to see his brother or sister grow in the Lord. You know, I hope you have friends. I don't know you guys real well, but I hope that in this church you know what it means to have friends, good Christian friends, those who come alongside you, those who encourage you in your faith. I've been blessed with good friends over the years. I've had people who have come alongside me during those tough times. And that's a wonderful thing. To have, you know, people sharpen you to do better in your faith when you're beginning to go off the rails. You know, sometimes we do. And somebody comes alongside you and says, brother, well, look, you're going off the rails. You need to come back. You need to think correctly about your life. This is a sin that you're involved in. That's why it says that we're to exhort one another. And what happens sometimes in the church when there's exhortations, a lot of times it's by a person that perhaps has never spoken to you. So what happens is, you know, there's not a good relationship, and then somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you're doing something wrong. Well, a lot of times if that person, you don't know that person's another friend of yours, you don't want to receive that kind of criticism, do you? So that's why it's important to understand what this passage is saying. We need to be tight with people. We need to have people who come alongside us to speak into our life, to sharpen us, to do better. Verse 24 says we're not to neglect the worshiping together. Why? Because you're not with Christians. You don't have this communal feel. You don't have people coming alongside you to help you in your faith. One commentator said of this verse, he said, One of the first indications of a lack of love towards God is for a Christian to stay away from the worship services. He forsakes the communal obligations of attending these meetings and displays symptoms of selfishness and self-centeredness. So what happens when we stop going to church? Well, number one, we stop hearing the preaching of the word. Number two, we don't have the benefit of worshiping together as God's people. You know, singing is important for us. Singing has been an integral part of the church staying strong through the ages, singing together, singing good songs together, singing hymns together. That encourages you in your faith. Praying together, as the catechism mentions, we need to pray together as a church, don't we? So when you don't go to church, you miss all of these things. You miss the preaching, you miss the singing, you miss the prayer. We also remove ourselves from that God-given protection of being a part of the body of Christ, as we've seen. But there's one last thing that our passage mentions, and that is that we are forgetting something very, very important. Look with me at verse 25. Verse 25. It says there, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Brothers and sisters, you know what this passage is referring to. It's talking about the day when Jesus Christ comes again for the second time. And brothers and sisters, as I've mentioned, a lot of times we tend to focus on the here and now. We focus on the things that are around us. We get distracted by the things that are around us, and we forget the importance of coming together as God's people. But when we forget that, brothers and sisters, we can lose focus on that day which is coming, that day when Christ will come again to judge those who do not know him. And the reality is, when we don't go to church anymore, we have lost sight of the most important relationship we have. We have lost sight of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And even though a lot of people say that they want to go to heaven, and even though a lot of people believe that they're going to heaven, the reality is when that day comes, it will be a day of weeping, and it will be a day of sadness, and it will be a day of judgment if you do not know Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, for those of you who are Christians today, for those of you who are being encouraged in your faith each Sunday, for those of you who are excited to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with God's people, what a day that will be for us. That will be the day of salvation. That will be the day when we will see our Savior face to face. That will be the day when we worship in absolute perfection. You know, we won't have fights on our way to heaven. We'll be with our Savior, and we will be with him permanently, forever and ever. Amen. That's the day when we will sing at the top of our lungs. You know, we were practicing a song, learning parts. We will be able to sing in perfect harmony. We will sing at the top of our lungs, and we will be surrounded not just by 50 people. We won't be surrounded by 1,000 people. We will be surrounded by millions and millions of Christians who have lived before us and those who have lived after us, those who will be part of that great assembly. And as we close today, let me ask you, are you looking forward to that day? Are you? Because at times we can lose sight of it, can't we? Sometimes we get so focused on the here and now. Sometimes we get so focused on the things we have to do during the week, our busy schedules. We forget what heaven is going to be like. The book that I've been enjoying the last little while is a book that's named Forever, Why You Can't Live Without It. And that's the whole theme of the book, to have an eternal perspective from day to day. And as we close this afternoon, let me say to you simply, Make church a priority. Enjoy the worship of your God with the saints here in Jersey City. Because it's here that you're given a small taste of what awaits you in eternity.